Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we'll be talking to Stanley Gillespie. Stanley has been in our community all his life. His family is from over around Wilmore. He has family members that were fire chiefs and doctors, and we'll remember all of that and more when we return after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Well, good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you here on this Saturday morning as we continue our trek down the road of memories of things and people and places in Jessamine County. We're honored to be joined today by a fellow that I've known for a few years, Stanley Gillespie. Good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
Glad you were able to come in with us as we talk about the Gillespie family. And, you know, a lot of people that I have interviewed on this show, it's been about a business or one person in particular. But, you know, your family, you've had several people out of your family that have been pretty prominent, especially around the Wilmore area, that we want to talk about today and kind of remember them and what they did. And I guess the best place to start is as far back maybe as we can, and I'm assuming that maybe your granddad, is that right?
My granddad Stanley.
Huh? Yeah. Right. Now, you were named after him.
After both grandfathers. Both sides.
Oh, so your other grandfather's name was Clay?
No, his name
was Stanley too?
Uh-huh, right. Stanley Stennett.
Where'd the Clay come from?
Both of their middle names were Clay.
In fact, about
all the men in my family, middle name is Clay on my dad's side.
Easy to remember.
And my grandfather was Stanley Clay Stennett.
Wow.
So there wasn't any choice for them. I was just easy to name.
But that's really kind of weird. You had a Stanley Clay Stennett that's over here somewhere, mm-hmm. and he has mm-hmm. a daughter. And you've got a Stanley Clay Gillespie that's over here somewhere that has a son. And it just happens that their kids get together.
I guess so. After World War II.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It was meant for you to be. Yes, that's all there is to it.
You didn't have to buy any books to name me.
No different monograms on the towels, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so Stanley Clay Gillespie.
Right.
Is where I guess we'll start. Right. Your granddad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, tell us a little bit about him. Was he always from here?
Well, as far as I know, they were born in Wilmore. My family came to Wilmore in about 1880.
Oh, yeah.
There was four brothers.
Yeah.
There was a street in Wilmore named after them, Gillespie Street.
Right.
Just all the brothers lived. My great uncle, Virgil Gillespie, was the family doctor.
Mm-hmm.
One of his brothers was Jim Gillespie. They ran a bakery in Wilmore in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
There was George Gillespie, which he left there real early. He moved to Colorado.
Yeah.
So, you know, the four brothers, Stanley, Jim, George, and we used to call them the Big Four. It's because they were all big guys, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, and the ones, of course, that I don't remember because of my age, but I've heard of, would right. be your granddaddy, Stanley Clay, and Dr. Gillespie.
Right.
Dr.
Uh-huh.
Was V.S.?
V.C.
V.C.
Clay.
Uh-huh. And as we were talking before the program, you know, in Nicholasville for all those years, Dr. Williams was kind of the one that delivered all the babies and took care. Your great uncle was kind of that person in Wilmore.
A country family doctor there for years and years.
For a long time.
Yeah, I think there was an article one time where he had delivered over 5,000 babies.
Yeah, and that's kind of parallels the Dr. Williams up here.
Exactly, exactly.
That's
made house
amazing.
Calls.
You Did know. He deliver you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
yes,
yeah, by your great uncle.
On a Sunday morning, and I was interrupting his golf game. So after I was out, he was gone to the golf course.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, he had a brother named Stanley Clay, who was your granddad.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, I guess the way that I probably got to know you is because of our connection through the fire.
Right.
And I guess his connection through the fire is what got you interested through your dad. But ultimately, your granddad, he was on the Wilmore Department?
Department in 24. I mean, he's in the picture, the one I remember, and he was on there for several years before he moved to Florida after he retired.
The picture you talk about on our You Grew Up in Jessamine County Facebook page, there is a picture that shows the old Wilmore truck
two vehicles in that picture. Yeah. There's a 24 LaFrance, which was brand new. And then right beside it was a 1917 Dodge touring car that was converted. They had a chemical tank on it,
yeah,
a ladder on the side. You can see it in the, but they had it before 24.
Yeah.
And 24 is when they built the building and bought that 24 LaFrance.
And your granddad was one of the firemen.
He was one of the volunteers.
Best I can remember was there's 8-9 people in there, I guess.
9 or 10 people.
And that's Reynolds. Pretty good for that time of, you know, think about the early 20s, what was the population of Wilmore? Could have been very big.
I don't know. I know the truck cost $900 brand new with all the equipment on it.
Wow.
Reynolds Stewart was the fire chief.
Yeah.
He's in the picture, and there's several. Clayton Luce is in that picture, which the Luce Center is named after in Asbury College now. Mr. Hereford that had the store there.
Yes.
All the businessmen in Wilmore
were
the firemen, I guess. It's, you know.
And, of course, we talk about the fact that Wilmore's population was low, and maybe that was a big number of firemen. But you got to remember, you had those Asbury buildings over there at that time. In fact, Asbury, I don't know exactly when it happened, but they had a pretty major fire down there that wiped out a lot of the early campus.
Right.
So with that in mind, it would make sense then that you would have, for a small town, 9, 10, 11, 12 people on your volunteer department. Of course, these guys had businesses to run, too. I mean, they couldn't probably all go at one time.
Like volunteers are now. They have other jobs, of course.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So your granddad, now, outside of being a volunteer fireman, what did he do for his career?
Oh, for his career?
Yes.
He had to work for the government for years and years.
Yeah.
In different places with the government. In fact, when they had the hospital after World War II over here at Danville, I think it was named Darnell or something like that, they had a paid fire department there, several people there.
Yeah.
And he was on that for a while, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he had another job there at the same time.
Wow. Now, who was your grandmother, his wife?
Vanetta.
Was she from Wilmore?
I don't know where she was. I think she was from the Danville area because she was a Spoonamore.
Okay.
People that owned drugstores or something in Danville at that time.
So they met, hooked up somewhere in there, and out of that came your dad.
Right.
Was there other kids other than your dad?
His brother. Brother Frank.
Frank. Now, Frank. What happened to Frank?
Well, okay. After World War II, Frank, well, of course, they grew up in Wilmore and both served in the United States Army in World War II. Mm-hmm. And they were both in Germany for like 3 years during the war. And after that, they came home and together bought the little grocery store from a man named Myers down on Main Street and started Gillespie Brothers Groceries.
So it was both of them?
Both of them.
Your dad.
When it started.
And his brother Frank.
And his brother Frank.
Where was that located? Downtown?
It was kind of right across from Clay's Barbershop. It's like Rose's Flower Shop now. Of course, it's kind of, I won't say boarded up in the front, but it's got smaller windows. They used to have the big glass front windows like, you know, all the old stores did.
What years was that open?
46, when they come out of the service. They started in 46.
How long was it open?
Dad ran it to 76.
So you grew up in that grocery
exactly.
store.
Exactly, yeah.
That's where you... grew up and learned.
Running the streets down there. Yeah. Sacking groceries. My dad could not wait till I was 16 so I could start driving the truck and deliver groceries. That's, you know, when we delivered groceries. But it was Gillespie Brothers till about 1955, and Uncle Frank moved to Florida, and he was married a Floridian lady and started barbering, and he barbered there for 40-something years.
1955 would be about the time, maybe a little bit earlier, when Fitch's IGA would have opened. I think they
57?
Were in the,
somewhere right in there,
So this was prior, they closed prior to even Fitch's coming in, which, was there any other grocery stores down there?
Well, the Lou Allen family, part of that family had the grocery store. I think they bought it from the Fitch's.
Side
of their family there,
Well,
it was on the corner where Subway is now.
Well, since you brought that up, I mean, it's what a web we weave here. I want to make sure we get all these connections in here, folks, because he just brought up Lou Allen. There was a fellow down there owned a hardware store, Oscar Plum. Everybody knew him as
Lou
Plum.
Allen,
Do you know how he got that nickname? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't.
Plum is all I ever knew. Mr. Lou Allen is a nice guy, absolutely nice guy. And if you go down Lexington Avenue, on the left side of the street across from where the United Bank branch is. Mm-hmm. That he had a hardware store. That's what I remember.
Right.
Now, he had a son named Earl.
Right.
Earl, who's passed away a few years ago, was in the banking business, I believe. But anyway, he married a lady named Diane, who was Garrison. Now, her dad was Brad Garrison, who was an attorney here in Nicholasville. In fact, I think he was police judge
police
at one
judge.
Time.
Yeah.
His wife, I remember playing the piano at our church, Billy. And, of course, there are other kids in that family, Roger and Don, and I'm missing one sister.
Susan.
Uh-huh. But anyway, Diane was married to Earl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Earl died, and Diane is now married
to me.
To you.
Right.
And this is your second wife.
Right.
Okay, so with that, if you all understood that, guys, you're doing good. So let's tie all this together. You were born when?
1947.
Now, do you have any brothers and sisters?
No.
And you were the only child.
Only child.
So you grew up in this grocery store. And eventually found the love of your life, Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when would that take place?
1969 is when we met. She was at Asbury.
Was she from here?
No, she was from a little town in Burgles, Ohio.
Burgles, but she came to school here.
She came to Asbury,
okay.
Right.
Uh-huh. And caught you.
I caught her.
You all got married in 69. How long were 70. You?
We got 70. Married in 70.
Yeah. How long were you married when she died?
She died, let's see, we were married 31 years, yeah.
And you have, and so that, folks, is that's why we say that Diane's his second wife. His
right.
first wife
mm-hmm.
passed away, and then you, Diane. So I guess you and Diane probably had known each other for several years because of the Wilmore connections.
Well, we met in high school.
Yeah.
With Earl, being, that's Earl and Diane. That's all you ever said in high school was Earl and Diane.
Well, they were high school sweethearts.
Yeah.
What about that?
Married very young, right after high school.
Well, you and Elaine were married. Now, you had two children.
Two girls.
Talk,
right.
Brag a little about them.
Oh, well, I've got a daughter that's now in Hendersonville, which is a suburb of Nashville, Cary.
Yeah.
Have three grandchildren there, mm-hmm. Tyler and Kayla and Jason, and they live in Nashville. Her husband works for Reynolds Aluminum.
Okay.
And my youngest daughter, Karen, is mm-hmm. still here in Nicholasville, is never married, works in Lexington. She does graphic artwork and for a printing company.
So that's the, there we have the line.
That's the line.
Let's back up now. We've got the line established who's related to who here. You grew up in this grocery store, and at some point in time, you decided that you liked the fire business. Now, was that early age, and was that because of your parents or grandparents?
Well, I mean, my dad always, you know, he was 25 years as the volunteer chief in Wilmore.
So your dad was the chief.
Right.
Your granddad was just on the department.
Right.
But your daddy was the chief for 25 years.
Yeah. After he come out of the service.
While he ran the grocery store.
Wow. Yeah.
You just had this in your blood.
Well, I guess it's in my blood, but I really didn't get interested until I was about 21 or 22. I didn't go with him when he was, mm-hmm. you know, when I was littler. I just didn't.
I wasn't interested,
I guess. But all of a sudden, I got an interest in it.
Did you start with Wilmore?
I started with Wilmore in probably 69, right before he got out.
Yeah.
Then moved to Nicholasville. We married and moved to Nicholasville and got on the city department here as a volunteer. And then about a year later, got on the county with the county. And a lot of us guys then was on both departments.
Both.
Answering calls for both departments. Because it wasn't very busy at that time, you know, not like today.
And unlike today, both of them at that time were volunteer.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
City and county.
And then later on, after Chief Price retired from the county fire department, mm-hmm. I was assistant chief at that time. I became the volunteer chief of the county district. It would become the fire district then.
How long were you chief for the Jessamine County?
About 9 years.
Was that prior to Mike Wheeler?
Yes.
He came in right after
Mike
you.
Mike was my assistant chief for several years.
I mean, you've made full circle here.
Right.
You have made full circle because, you know, your dad's chief, Wilmore, you eventually became chief of Jessamine County, and then later, you were chief of Nicholasville.
Yeah, when it became after it became the paid fire department.
Right.
Right.
So you've got the big three. You're the only one in this county, I guess, that's, well, you weren't chief of Wilmore, but on the Wilmore department.
I was on the Wilmore, uh-huh.
But you've been chief of two out of the three.
Yes, yeah.
What do you think, and I know you've been at it for a while, but in your mind, how much other than size, what's the difference in the fire career now than it was back when you were growing
up? Well, even in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s, if it wasn't on fire, we didn't go.
Yeah.
Then we got into extrication of automobiles with the jaws of life and the saws,
right.
Hazardous materials, and now they're just into, you know, the full thing of, you know, pre-plans and on and on and on. Yeah.
Back then, it was just call us if you have a fire.
Right,
basically.
Right.
I mean, that's it.
They got people out of automobiles with wreckers in those days and things like that. They didn't, you know, hazardous materials and all that stuff, you know, because things have changed. I mean, everything's changed.
Now, as far as, now, and you know, most of that was volunteer up until, I guess, you became the chief of Nicholasville. Everything you had done to that point was volunteer as far as fire department was concerned.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
So you had to have a way to feed your family. Tell us what you did outside of that.
I worked for the city full-time, and I was the purchasing agent for 22 years.
Long time.
And I was allowed to leave my work and answer even calls in the county with that. And that's a big thing right now of guys. I mean, businesses just cannot let guys go like they used to.
Right.
You know, to answer calls because of wages they pay them and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, so when Chief Brumfield was chief of the city, a lot of the guys that worked for the city, you know, could answer calls. And he had staff from, he could get from that pool also.
Sure. Well, and you think, you mentioned a while ago that prior to you, Willard Price was chief.
Of the county, yes.
Of the county. And, of course, his dad owned a service station down the street here, Frug. And, you know, I guess it was the same way. I mean, you know, he worked down there for him. And, you know, if the bell happened to ring, you took off and you went. It was no big deal. That's just the way it was.
When Walter Brumfield was the chief of the city fire department, I think him and Mr. Price, I don't know who stayed at the station, but, you know, they hightailed across the street there to the fire station and took off, answered calls.
And you're talking about going across the street. That brings up something else in my mind that I wanted to talk about. For a long time, the county fire department was located in the old building across from what is now Hager and Cunda Funeral Home. There used to be, for those people who are not from here, there used to be a building there. It's a parking lot now. And there used to be a building there, and it became quite dilapidated and quite dangerous. This was prior to the station being built that is now out on the south end. Do you know how long was the county fire department in there? Was it always there?
In 1970, when I came here, the county fire trucks, or the one county fire truck at that time, was housed in the city fire station.
Across the street?
So across the street. There was two city trucks and the county truck in that building at one time. And then after they became the district, then they got the building across the street. The county owned that building.
Yeah.
And they moved over and started renovating it and putting doors and everything in. And as the district grew, putting more trucks over there.
Well, and to explain a little more about what you said, too, is across the street, which is now, for those people, again, I'd want to educate the people who are newer to our community, between Hager and Cunda Funeral Home and between Central Bank, the big brick building, that was City Hall.
City, it was
and the City Police Department and the City jail, Fire Department, the jail, and everything was there, wasn't it?
Yeah, like the Wilmore Station was at one time, at the Wilmore Station there, it was City Hall and the city jail and the fire station.
It's amazing how this county has grown.
Yeah.
And what we used to have. So they had the old building down on Oak Street, and eventually that building, which was needed so badly to get out of, the fire department needed to get out of there. Because at that point, at one point in time, that, I have told, was a parachute factory back way back in, I guess, during the war.
World War II.
A roller rink was even upstairs. Over top of where you all had your trucks. And then the new station, of course, was built and is a great state-of-the-art place we've got out there. Let's get back to Wilmore for a little bit, and we want to talk about that and the way you feel about that town. You've been there basically all your life. Now I know you lived up here for a long time, but Wilmore's home.
Wilmore's home.
You know,
it's
home.
Yeah.
Tell us about some remembrances. What's some of the best remembrances you have of Wilmore growing up?
Well, when you grow, you don't really realize what a nice, neat place it is when you're growing up. It's just home and all the kids that we played. I mean, you know, it was the old rule. When the street lights come on, you went home at night. But the rest of that time, the town was yours. We had bikes, and then later on we had motor scooters we could ride without driver's license, you know, and terrorize the town and all that stuff. I just remember up the street from the store, the front yard, there's a beautiful home there on the corner now. It's a rock stone house. Dr. Sutherland was an eye doctor there. He built the little room on the side now, which I think is a beauty shop to that lady's
I think I know where you're talking about.
Really pretty in Christmas. It's a beautiful place. But that whole front yard was our football field right there on Lane Street. And the Sutherland brothers and me and Tommy Eagleite that lived across the street there where the bed and breakfast is now. And we all grew up. We played football there when we were little kids when we didn't have to work in our stores and things like that. But Wilmore was a neat place. I just remember all the family shopping at my dad's store. And, you know, and I just think of when I would people would come and buy groceries. And you just put their name on the bags, and I would deliver them to their homes. They would go somewhere else, especially on Saturday.
Well, and of course, Stanley, that was the time where you didn't walk in and walk down the aisles and get your groceries. You took a list in and said, here's what I need. And you, the family that ran the store.
Fill the list.
You filled the list.
Or call on the phone.
Yeah.
And give us a list.
Yeah, right.
And we would fill it and take it to their house and collect the money or just put it on their credit.
Right.
My dad ran credit for 30 days at a time.
Yeah.
And those people just paid like clockwork. I mean, you could just count on it.
Yeah.
You know, you never had any delinquent things. But I was, you know, you'd take the groceries to the house, you'd put the meat in the refrigerator, you'd put the ice cream in the freezer.
Because they weren't home.
They weren't home. They weren't home. The house.
Which meant the house was locked.
No.
Yeah, not
no,
locked.
No. You just never thought about it.
What a simple time.
Yeah, simple time. Yeah.
We had on the show not long ago Jim Brumfield and his sister Billy Hawes talking about their dad, mom, Clay and Ann.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how Clay, when he started as a mailman and for years, his route was the city. It wasn't this section of the city. It was a whole city because it was small. And I mean, he mentioned that, too, about how, you know, you never thought about locking a door. You never thought about doing anything like that. And Wilmore, although has grown somewhat, the planners and the administration down there have been able to maintain still that small town feeling. That's good in some ways. In some ways, it's not. You don't have a lot of businesses down there, but you have businesses that do very well because the people down there are loyal to them.
I can remember, I believe, Doug, one of the biggest changes in Wilmore in businesses is when places like IBM came to Lexington and you know, Square D, and offered a lot of employment, and a lot of people drove up there every day, and then they built, you know, like Southland Shopping Center.
Right.
And you could see the tide slowly changing way back then, you know, this was in the early 70s, you know, and then businesses could not survive. I think when my dad and his brother started there, there was five little grocery stores in Wilmore. In 1946.
And, you know, we've talked about that on this program, is, and I've often been amazed in talking about Nicholasville, the Main Street area. If you talk about the number of grocery stores, the number of department stores, the number of furniture stores, the number of clothing stores that operated at the same time, how in the world did they all survive? But that was a day when you didn't run to Lexington every time you needed something. And it's the same way with Wilmore. You know, the Wilmore, I guess back then, a trip to Nicholasville was a big thing.
My grandmother, which lived in Wilmore, whatever, every now and then on Saturday, we would take the bus, the Phillips bus line that came out of Nicholasville. It stopped in Wilmore, I think, three times a day. And of course, at one time they were hauling people to Avon to work on the other side of Lexington. They had one bus that would just charter, I guess, every day.
Yeah.
But would be a big trip for Grandma and I to come. I would come through Nicholasville and see this downtown.
Yeah.
And then go on to Lexington to downtown to shop and spend a day with my grandmother.
And that was
a big deal.
Special treat.
That was a big deal to go to Lexington.
Yeah.
You know, and Diane and I probably go five times a week to
eat. That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Things like that have changed. And while convenience is good and your variety, I guess, it's sad that we've lost a lot. And the thing about Wilmore, though, Stanley, is that even though it has progressed, it's one of those places that you still can, at least I can go to and kind of get the way it used to be. You know what I mean?
Is,
that feeling of the way it used to be, because even though it's changed, it's still kind of the same.
I mean, the parades they have over there for Veterans Day and the 4th of July and Christmas downtown.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
What do you miss most about the Wilmore that you used to know?
Well, going back after, you know, I've been back there 7 years now. Yeah. Going back, I mean, the old guys aren't there like they used to be. They've either, you know, like me, they've moved somewhere else and haven't come back, or they've passed away, you know, and the older people, you know, and it's great just to go down to the barbershop with Clay, you know, and just, we just go down there and reminisce. Every time it's a haircut, or just go down there and loaf with Clay. Yeah. And we know, he knows people and I know people, and we'll talk about, you know, they've done this and the characters we used to call them. We're probably the characters now, of course.
Yeah, that's right.
Clay is anyway.
He is. We were fortunate to have him on our program, and I guess we were talking that he and I guess the Fitches are probably the longest running businesses still there.
58 for Clay,
yeah, right, that are still operating.
Yeah. In the same spot.
In the same place.
Yeah, in the same window. He's in the same window.
It's pretty amazing.
Great.
Well, things change. Progress happens, and there's nothing we can do to stop that. But it's good to remember it. It's good to think about it. You know, if your daddy could come back for an hour, what would he say? What would he say if he could just stand in Main Street in Wilmore? What do you think he'd say?
Boy, I don't know. He'd probably say, where is everybody? And where's all the businesses were here at that time gone.
Yeah.
You know, why didn't they survive?
Yeah.
You know, of course, he left in 76, and it was making a big change then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Mom died in 71, Dad kind of really, we stayed five more years.
But yeah.
He had got the opportunity to sell and retire.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
He got out.
And should have, and enjoy himself.
It was, you know, perfect.
Exactly
timing.
Yeah, right.
Perfect timing for him.
Well, Stanley, believe it or not, our time is gone, but I want to say personally and on behalf of the community how much we appreciate all of the contributions that the Gillespies has made to our county. Not only them, and I mean anybody, not anybody can have a business, but there's a lot of people that have businesses, but even to you and your dad and your granddad, even going back that far, and the contributions and the fire business and helping to keep us safe, because I know personally that volunteers don't make any money. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of hours you and your dad and your granddad spent away from their families helping other people in the time of need. And we appreciate that. And I hope people in our community, especially with volunteers, appreciate what these people are making, the sacrifices they're making to help us when we need them.
Absolutely.
And the thing about it is that we don't really think about them until we do need them, and that's at a bad time.
Sure.
But it's always good to know that at a bad time, somebody's there to help you out.
They're ready to come.
So,
these guys are ready to come.
And thank you for doing that those years.
Yeah.
And
appreciate that.
Wish you the best in your retirement years and keep enjoying. I know you're enjoying it and
having
a good time with those grandkids, especially.
Yeah, all eight of them.
Good. Thanks, Stanley.
Thank you, Doug.
Well, I want to take time to thank Stanley for coming in this morning and being on our program and remembering his family and what they have meant to our community. We sure do appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning at 11 to share with us about the people and the places and things that we remember about Jessamine County. We'll do it again next Saturday at 11. All Things Jessamine, brought to you by the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County on your hometown radio station, Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.